Okay. Today's daf happens to be Dafayin Beis Amud Aleph in Ksubis, a very fundamental topic, which I'll just, by way of introduction, maybe a few more people will come, so before I actually examine the halacha, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, very well-known Gemara. The Gemara actually quotes a pasuk, Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Beisa, as a reference to the wife of On Ben Peles. On Ben Peles was initially on the side of Korach. Then his wife said to him, what are you going to gain from becoming involved in this machlokes? At the end of the day, Korach is going to be the Kohen Gadol, and you're not going to gain anything from this involvement in this conspiracy against Moshe Rabbeinu. So she gave him, as the Gemara describes over there, she plied her husband with wine, and he went to sleep, and she, who knew that Korach and his cohorts were going to come and fetch her husband, so the Gemara says that she went ahead and uncovered her hair, and in effect, when she did so, they all arrived on the scene, and they quickly recoiled. This is Adas Korach, recoiled as a result of witnessing a woman, a married woman, with her hair uncovered. And as a result, he was saved. That's the Gemara says, Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Beisa. So we see not only the wisdom of a wife in saving her husband, but we see the notion of a woman covering her hair was prevalent Bisman HaMidbar, during the 40 years of Klal Yisrael sojourned in the desert. So it goes all the way back. A second vignette that I'll mention is that of the story of a Rav from Eretz Yisrael. In the 1970s, he went to Russia to teach Torah. I'm familiar with a number of such Rabbonim. Was quite friendly with many of them, without getting into details. There are four of them, so I'm not going to delineate all of them, or any of them for that matter.
You just mentioned
the name? Pinchas Teitz. Zechar Tzadik Livracha. And a host of others. So they went to Russia, and they gave shiurim to Jewish men, Jewish women over there behind the Iron Curtain, and they taught this Mishnah in Ksubis and Dafayin Beis, which is the source for Kisi Sar. And after the shiur, a Russian woman approached one of these Chashur Rabbonim and said, is it really true, Rabbi, that a married woman has to cover her hair? And the rabbi replied affirmatively. So she said, does it mean that I have to cover my hair even if it means losing my job? That was the Soviet Union at that point in time, prior to whatever it is today. It goes midechi el dechi, or mipach el pach, if you wish to put it in such terminology. And the rabbi thought for a few moments, and then he recalled a tshuva of the Igros Meishem, which actually I hope to examine a little bit if I have a chance. And he told you, yes, if it means losing your job, you're obligated to cover your hair. Two years later, I think the Rav returned to Russia again, met this woman. She told him when she heard the shiur 2 years earlier, she was the chief obstetrician in Moscow General Hospital. That was her rather chashuva position. After the shiur, she decided to cover her hair, and she knew she was going to lose her position as head of obstetrics, and she did. And then they gave her a job as a janitor in the hospital, in Moscow General Hospital, sweeping and mopping the floor. But because they knew she had great expertise in obstetrics, gynecology, so therefore, whenever they had a problem, she was called in for consultation. But they wouldn't let her deliver the baby, and this woman was willing to emes her nefesh to fulfill this din, this mishnah, of a married woman covering her hair. Okay, so now I just want to, I have a lot of hashkofa to say in this area, but I'm not sure that none of you, necessarily require my hashkafic position. I've been dealing with this issue for almost 50 years of my life, and with young men and women, starting all the way from Providence, Rhode Island, almost 50 years ago, and essentially throughout the rabbinate, throughout my career, and also on college campuses, where I was dealing with non-observant young Jewish women, and young Jewish men, and attempting to try to teach them this halacha. So I spent my entire life at it, and most of my life, and trying to underscore the different roles and characteristics of men and women. And one of the issues, of course, is how to define kalkuta bas melech pnima. What's the basis for this din of kisui sar? So I have an entire thesis about the matter. I actually wrote a rather lengthy essay on the topic, but I'm not going to get into it. I'll just mention that it wasn't. I have it in, shall we say, in a docket of many, many writings that I have, but I have not yet had a chance to honestly work at it and to publish it. I heard from Hagoyen Yabiel Schwartz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who just passed away a week ago. He was the Sgan Mashgiach in Itri. He wrote about 500 Sfarim. I went to Menachem Obel, his Rebbetzin, and children, and grandchildren. I happen to know all of them. And in Malo Daphna. So he used to tell me in 1971, 72, when I learned the Itri, that there's a fundamental distinction between men and women, that the man is the Sar HaChutz. He used to call him the Secretary of State. And the woman is the Sar HaPnim. The man's basic activity is outside the home, a more public kind of role in terms of Parnassah and perhaps to be Osik B'Tzarchei Tzibur. And the primary role of a woman is in the home, is in the Beisos U'Ishto, in Chinuch HaYilodim, establishing a home based on Yirat Shamayim, Midos Tovos, raising children. And even though she may very well be a career woman, a professional woman may have those interests as well, but her primary focus should be her role in the home. And whatever else she does should be secondary, even if it's for Parnassah. And therefore, that's really the idea of Akeras Habayis. And this idea is like Aleph Beis. As far as I'm concerned, I heard the same yesod from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal any number of times. But that's how he expressed it. So I remember I heard from, he told me, Benji Levine, Harabi Yom Levine, Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yom Abishnoisa. So he told me about his grandfather, Babari Levine. He lives in Harnof, he's the Rav in his grandfather's shul. So he told me that after his grandmother passed away, so when they asked Babari Levine, they asked him, where is your house? So he said, my house has disappeared. His wife was Nifter, and therefore he said, I no longer have a home. But if you ask me, where's my address? This is my address. That I can tell you where exactly my address is. And of course, the Gemara says, Beisel Zu Ishto, and there's no question that even though she passed on to the next world. So I'm not going to discuss the philosophy behind this halacha of Kisui Seyar. And as I said, I've been dealing with the issue for approximately 50 years of my life, and attempting to try to present to young people some sort of rationale. There are a number of approaches that I have over the years that I wrote out in this essay. I wrote the essay about 40 years ago, but whatever the case is, I never published it. But of interest to me, because people always want to know what the background, what the backdrop of this entire issue is. So I'm going to more or less today do something which I rarely do, go more a little bit into halacha lemaise, which is not really my necessarily my interest in life, I'm sorry. But that's what I'm going to try to do in the course of this discussion. Because many people ask me, why is it necessary for a married woman to cover her hair? And what's the distinction between a married woman and a single woman? And what's wrong with a, quote-unquote, a platinum gold shetel or something along those lines? Today they can cost several thousand dollars. I'm very familiar with these issues because I teach young men and young women. I'm involved in the shidduchim, and for many, many decades as well. And I don't think the Torah requires necessarily a woman to cover her hair to make her less attractive, chas v'shalom. Here we have sugis and ksubis, ein isha el liyefi, ein isha el tachshitim, ein isha el kishutim, all kinds of gemaras all over Shas and Yavamis and ksubis and tainis and elsewhere, where the gemara discusses essentially that a woman certainly should be attractive to her husband. But again, even when she wears a shetel, so she technically fulfills the obligation of covering her hair, but again, it has to be done in the spirit of tznius, which I'm not getting into right now. That's a very nuanced, delicate, I would say, difficult idea to present to people who don't have any background or backdrop, and it takes many years till one acquires the proper, shall we say, stimmung the proper tone and spirit to understand exactly what this halacha is all about. Okay, that's by way of a little preamble, a little introduction to the topic. But I came to Maskana many years ago that the obligation of Kisa Seya that the Mishnah outlines here on Daf Ayin Beis is for the married woman herself to realize her obligation in life is to focus on tznius. That's the essence of her role in Klal Yisrael, called Kulah Bas Melech Penima. And the essence of a Jewish woman is the penimius, namely her sense of modesty, her sense of privacy. The main focus is not on external beauty, but of course it's a tendency that women have, which is of a positive nature. The Torah wants her to concentrate on the spiritual, the ruchniyistika, beauty, midos tovos, yashavayim. That's really the essence of what tznius is all about. And the famous going, the salvation quoted this going countless times, that sheker achein vehebel ayofi, chein in and of itself is sheker, yofi in and of itself is hevel, yiras Hashem, he, what is the reference of he? The aforementioned items. A woman who has an understanding, namely, she's a yirei shamayim, so then he, the former elements that I mentioned earlier in the pasuk, the hainu, chein, and yofi, tis halol. Then they take on unquestionably value, but without yashamayim, then the other items have no status whatsoever. In the gon, Rasul basically said, the gon compared it to a zero. So the number zero in and of itself stands for nothing, but when you put a one in front of it, it acquires value. So if one focuses only on the physical or external kind of beauty, that's ephes. Sheker achein vehevel yofi. But if you combine it with spiritual beauty, with Yirat Shamayim, Midos Tovos, then it has value, then it's really worthy of Shevach V'Odah. Of course, the danger is that beauty will become the focus, and that's why the Torah obligated a woman, a married woman, to cover her hair as a constant kind of reminder, as a symbol for a woman of Kolkula Bas Melech Pnima, so a shade could be very beautiful, no question about it. But again, there's no doubt a woman would prefer to display her own natural hair, because she feels a sense of pride. And that's the Gemara in Brachas Chav Dalet, Tzar B'Isha Erba, that hopefully we'll get to as well. But again, the idea is the focus should be shifted from external beauty to internal spiritual values, the essence of tznius. I just more or less summarized my entire 20-page article, but it needs a lot more, shall we say, elaboration, and a lot more filling in. Okay, now the question, of course, that people ask me as well, why is only a married woman obligated to cover her hair, and not a single woman? That's a barely obvious question. As a matter of fact, you're familiar all with the Gemara here on the bottom of Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is the Kasha. After the Mishnah has delineated for us Das Meshe and Das Yehudis, so one refers to Dinim Daraisa, one is the Minhagim of Tznius, Das Yehudis, Taklal Yisrael, Benos Yisrael, Venoi Meshach Adaris. The Gemara is the Kasha, this is a Din Daraisa. The Gemara says, from Sota Ufaras Rosh Isha. But Tanu Rabbi Shmuel Azor Libnos Yisrael Shalayetzir B'Pruah Rosh. So this Loshen the Chazal, Magen Avraham, others already have picked up on it. Bnos Yisrael sounds like that. Even a single woman who's lav dafka married also is obligated somehow not to go about with her hair uncovered. And this actually, you can see it. Those who are familiar with you, Shalmi women, so that you generally braid the hair. It's based on Magen Avraham. It's based on this Gemara that. But there's no obligation, obviously, for a single woman to cover her hair. Now, I'm not here to discuss that which is also discussed in the article, namely that in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, hair cutting was neglected. I've said many times, I'm the world of chinuch about 50 years of my life, so I can tell you that my parents' generation, very few women covered their hair. I'm talking about women who are Shomri Torah Mitzvahs, Yirei Mushlemim. It was a minority that covered their hair. I know, obviously, one case that's probably famous. I know about 7-8 Gdolei Yisrael whose wives did not cover their hair. I'm not going to tell you who they are. I know that for a fact. I saw a number of them that didn't cover their hair. And not just one that he's the most well-known of all them that I have to be somehow connected to. But there were about 7-8 others that didn't cover their hair. Some of them, actually, when they came from Europe to America, they realized they had to make some sort of a change, and they actually shifted. But not all of them necessarily. So it was neglected. I don't know exactly, people ask me why was it neglected. I have many theories, whether it's the Haskalah, the Enlightenment, whether it's other Tamim. But there's no question that one of the things that affected Jews living in America, I'm not talking about Gdolei Yisrael now, they wanted to emulate, to a large extent, the mode of dress of the non-Jewish world. And only after World War I, World War II, Rav Soloveitchik said that the one responsible, this I heard him, but he said, Hesped, for the Satmar Rav, whom he didn't agree with, came out on anything. But he said the Satmar Rav was a going in chesed, a going in learning. Other than that, they had very little in common. But he said because of him, it was glatt kosher in America. Because of him, women, married women covered the hair. He's the one who introduced it. Kach Shamati, Miran Harav Zatzal, at the Hesped, he said for the Satmar Rav. So there's no question that's correct. The Hungarian Jews were the ones who were very scrupulous regarding not just Kisi Arosh, but with Daktik in general, and together with many other mitzvahs that were, unfortunately, that underwent all types of changes. Today, I would say, today's generation, my generation, if I can use that, 50% of my chaverim, their wives cover their hair, and the students that I teach, young women, I taught young women for many, many years, 98% of those who receive chinuch cover their hair. So that's really an amazing shift, Baruch Hashem, in a very positive kind of way. Now, it doesn't mean that because they cover their hair, they are, shall we say, far beyond qualitatively of the now generation or the earlier generation. They don't come to the karsolayim of my generation or the early generation. Not to the karsolayim of the Yiras Shamayim or anything of the sort. It happened to be that my mother, Lashon, covered her hair. But my grandma covered her hair. My grandma from Vilna. And my grandmother in Portland, Maine, had a cow in order to have Cholam Yisrael. That's he spoke Yiddish to. I've spoken about a number of times. So that's a completely, totally different. Bessie, kum do. Get the back, Bessie. Anyway, that's what used to go on. I thought when I was a kid that the cow spoke Yiddish. Shulik HaMashmah. I used to be there when I was 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. That's where I grew up under that. Together with the Reuter Bendelers that she used to tie in my fingers when I left the house. And my pockets were so full of salt, of melach, I could barely walk. I was 2 or 3 years old. And that's what I remember from those days, heady days of Portland, Maine, many, many decades ago. Okay, so today we have, Baruch Hashem, Sheitel Machas, people make a living. There's a woman who can't tell Sisla. She's a doctorate in theoretical physics. She couldn't get a position in the academic world here, because here they're very, shall we be polite, ruthless. And as a result, she became a Sheitel Macha. So she told me she makes more money than any professor of theoretical physics. And so Baruch Hashem. So we have today boutiques and all kinds of other wondrous type of people involved in this area. Okay, so let's now get down to brass tacks, which is what I wanted to do. There's a shtickle hakdama, a shtickle preamble regarding this matter. The Mishnah had said, Eli Yotza Shalom B'Ksuba. I mean, I don't want to be chutzpedik, but people asked a famous gadol whom I had a connection with, how come he didn't divorce his wife? It's a chamishna. Now, I wouldn't have the audacity to do something like that because I never saw his rebbetzin. I was never zochet to see her. Well, I was alive when she was around, but I never saw her. But there were one or two people who asked this question. It's a mishnah. So when they asked him the question, they didn't ask the question that he should divorce his wife. They just cited the mishnah to him. Kilu, he was not familiar with the mishnah. He was quite familiar with the mishnah that says Eli Yotzer Shalbik Subho. That's how that's Moshe Yehudis. And his reaction to one of them, who's a famous Rosh Hashiva, only probably Rabbi Asger Shlita knows whom that is. Do you want me to divorce my wife? That was his response. They didn't say a word. The second one, who has a bit more of a chutzuf, also Rosh Hashiva, also asked him a question. And so this Adam Godel told this person, what can I do? It's a Mishnah. I can't compel her to do something, and I don't plan on divorcing her. That's what he answered to the second person. I spoke to both of them about 50 years ago on the matter. So therefore, I have, as I said, a direct contact. And this, as I said, was not uncommon. But again, it's not a measure of the women, of the Yiras Shamayim and the like. Oh, correct. So there are a lot of dukim that I have also in that article. A lot of dukim in the Mishnah, including the one that Rabbi Bao mentioned. Eli Yotzer Shel B'Ksuba. It doesn't mean necessarily you're mechuyev, and especially if you have a good marriage, that a bit, similar to the, I don't want to compare the two, but people have asked me, those young women who want to move to Eretz Yisrael, the husbands don't want to go. Well, then I have a Mishnah Ksubas. I should be allowed to divorce her. I should divorce him, and he has to give me the Ksuba. I also don't suggest that either. I'm sorry, Dr. Mazenkis, but even though you're very a stickler for Mishnayis and what it says in the Gemara, but you, Baruch Hashem, have a man with enormous amount of common sense, so this is how I operate even in that area as well. Of course, you should try to convince them to move to Eretz Yisrael. And Shum Safik of that, and welcome this topic. But that this should not be necessarily, even though it says so pretty explicitly over there, it's a Din Shonach. Okay, so now back here, let's start with the Yotza Parua, the Rosha Parua. She violated what it says in the Mishnah. The husband has the right to divorce and not pay the ksuba. The Gemara says, Sedin Darvaisa with the Isha Sota. There's a famous 2 days here in Rashi. Now, if I were to just focus on this Rashi, that'd be the end of the shir. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Hagoyim Rav Moshe Feinstein, that cell, takes these 2 days and says, wow, what he does over there, I can't discuss it right now because that would take the rest of the shir. And I don't want to do that. That needs a separate shir. So he has in the 2 days in Rashi, I'll just read it for you so you'll see. Rashi comments, Azora. That's the Gemara in Saita. She behaved in a fashion that was not tsanua. And therefore, we are now going to go ahead, Ufaras Rosh Isha, and she has to uncover her hair. We are menavel her, because Sar B'Isha is considered to be something which, of course, is her beauty. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim, the Gemara in Brachos Chavdalin, says Rashi Michlal Da'asa. So here you see that there's an Issa that's involved. That's one opinion. Inami Michsibu Fora Michlal Da'ishayt Ala Pruo Shmamina and Derech Menos Yisrael Las Es Pruo Shosh Chenika. Rashi brings Nafkaminas between these two Rashi's that are very, very famous. But as I said, I don't really want to discuss it at this point in time. So essentially, the Gemara here is telling us, and Rashi presents, as I said, 2 days, whether there's, as Rashi calls it, Michlal da Osur. And the second opinion of Rashi is, Ein Derech. B'nois Yisrael, lots of Purash Rosh Chenikon. Rabbi Baum, I decided to include some Englishmen as well here, as you see, Yodayim, in this matter. So a woman would go out, says the Gemara, to answer this kasha, go on to the next daf. Page number 2, the Gemara says that Min HaTorah really kilsa shapidomi. It says Rashi, what's a kilsa? Sal sheishlo b'mata b'eskibul l'homba b'rosho b'eskibul m'mala l'asuzo pelechu pishtan. A kilsa is some sort of a, you want to translate it as a basket. I'm not sure that is the proper translation, but whatever the case is, we're talking about it has a receptacle. It can contain elements. As Rashi says, pelech, pishtan, and chokh malisha l'pelech, agdemor eichet. Anyway, so we're talking about midar aisa kilsa sufficient. Das Yehudis avil kilsa nami osam. And the Gemara then goes on to say, I'm reading the top of page number 2, Ayin Beis and Beis. Om Rav Asim Rav Yechel and kilsa imba mishim piru arosh. Hevi war abzeiro heichi. Ile mibashuk. Das Yehudis. Outside in the marketplace, that's clearly a, obviously under Das Yehudis. V'yela b'chotzer. Imkein lo inachta basa avim avinu. So this needs attention, enormous amount of attention, where the woman is obligated, number one, in the chotzer, to cover her hair, and number two, whether she's obligated in her house to cover her hair, which I'll get to a little bit. I'm not going to discuss it fully, because it needs a lot more attention. But here the Gemara says, if she go out in public wearing a basket, but not fully covering her hair, then she violated Das Yehudis. This means at the Rabbanah level, the level of Minog and Minog Yisrael, that women actually, that's been accepted throughout the generations. And then we have, which is really the simple pshat, even though others disagree, the Gemara on page number 3 in Yuma, Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara says, Tana Abanu Shivu Banim, Kayula the Kimchis, the Kulon Shimshu, the Kulon Gedola. She had 7 children, 7 sons, 7 Kohanim Gedolim. How was she Zoche? Omelo Chacham, Maas, Seat, what did you do? She Zochit the Kach. What a Gemara. The Poshim Pshat in the Gemara, Midas Chassidus. That's a simple Pshat. Your Dayan and others, Mishnah Berurah. Forget about the Dayan. Let's put it on the Mishnah Berurah. We'll get that shortly. In Siman Ayin Hey, Mishnah Berurah actually calls him the Zaya, the Chassam Sefer. And there are women who are very, very makpid, that literally, they will never uncover their hair. Under no circumstances. Even betoch beisam, meikar adin, it's clear that it's mutter legami. Ein shum safik. Let's say right now, as long as no one else is there. Again, this needs another shear, but I'm not into that. I just want to get the basics here and just an overview of the topic. So the Mishnah Berurah, if you take a look.
I would guess that the Rosh father would say something about Pasavro. It's
would have said something about? That's right. Matter of fact, I told you that I had the other night. Listen, last night was Chassid number 24 since Tisha B'Av. So I'm not counting anymore. My wife keeps the count anyway. So, but at Chassid number 21, I met a Pesach, a Dayan. He asked me the following kasha: you want to know how you call up, or how do you when you want to make a mishaber for a gioris? So maybe if it's a ger, we know Ben Avram Avino. So I sort of told him that you call her Bas Avram Avinu. He said, where'd you get that from? I said, I get my own super spot over here. Le'nachta Bas Avram Avinu. It's a Lashon that's found a number of times in Chazal. So he found that to be, he's a big Pesach. Wow, what a chiddush. This is Halacha L'maisa. I said, you're the Pesach, you're the Dayan. I'm not a Pesach, I'm not a Dayan. That's not my area. So I said, he said, did you ever see it? Yes. I saw it a number of times. Now, where does that come from?
The
as opposed to Bas Sari Meinu.
Yeah, my smart shooter was at Bas Sari Meinu.
Okay.
So
okay. I think you may have been at that chasana. I don't know. I saw you two or three. I didn't see you at the other 21. But anyway, I saw you at least two or three. The kids are so the... what?
Bas Avraham.
Yeah. Bas Avraham Avinu. Okay, that's just mentioning Derech Agah. So anyway, you see the Gemara in Yuma, the Pashas, the Gemara is talking about Minis Chesidus, by Kimchis, Kohanim Gedolim, but as I said in Mishnah Brura, now I underline too much here, but on page number 5 in Siman Ayin Hey, this Siman has to be learned Baal Peh. I've learned the Siman Ayin Hey in my life probably 50 times. I'm not exaggerating. That's why you can see it's all underlined with check marks and what have you. So the Mishnah Brura here, has a statement that he points out that I'm just going to summarize it. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you because it would be unwieldy. First, he at the very beginning.
The
Mishnah Brura. I underline Bir Halacha also, but I'm reading the Mishnah Brura that if we want to read the Bir Halacha, we'll do that. He sort of summarizes it. Look at the first arrow, Rabbi Munitz. You see where it says Ulinyan Ikar Iso Gilu Sar De Isha Kasev Amagan Avram. But then the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, and that's what he's quoting here in the Bi'alacha. Now look at the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, the last 5-6 lines here, where it says, under the Lashon of Lot says, you see that? Yud Dalin. In the Mishnah Berurah is going on what the Mechaber says, Sar Shal Isha, Shedak Al Chaseisa, Yosef Likos Kinegdo. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes from what the Ramah says. They have some sort of a braid, sort of a hair net, and so there are some hairs that may stick out. So that he quotes from the Rashba, the Kolshkin Sar Nochas Afilu, Dark of the Chasos. Okay, but anyways, on the bottom, take a look at the bottom. Lot says, I'll read that. Ratzalom Shemavad Kova Shavosha, Yeshla Tzamat. It's like a hair net. Here's the Mishnah Berurah. It could be a sakona. Wow. Her children will not be choshev. Whatever that is, it's not a good thing. That's for sure. The Koshkin of Hocha Beshuka, Kach. And then he goes on to say, Al Kain Boy Yitzo, Yafilu Kores Beisa, Le Yechman Sara. That's the Gemara in Yuma that we just cited. Amem Zayi. So it's a Zoya. That Lo Yechman Sara Choda Memeshah, not even one hair should be seen. Vi Abdis Kain, Maxiv, Banecha, Shila Zesim, Sobe Lushuchanecha. Quotes the Pasuk that I heard at least 3 chasanas. The Germans, the Yekis. Very into that beautiful niggin. Thank you. Okay, we have one over here. He's married to a Yeki, but Zazel Bazach, Yeki himself. I say that in a positive way. So it goes further. Mazayis, Bino Yistalkun, Bachshuvin, Ashab, the Alma, Vlaid, Ella, the Bailam is Bar, Behold, Bechon, De Elo, Bechon, De Latata, Beusra, Bebinyan, Bnei Bonim. Wow, become wealthy person, have children, grandchildren. I come to show me kids, because I'm Abraham, Roy, Lino, Kazoya. So of course, Beis Samri, there it says over there that from her came Kohanim Gedolim. So pray tell, if I may ask you, does the Mishnah Berurah hold what I said earlier, that it's a Midas Chassidus, or does he hold it's essentially required Mikra Din? Correct. In the Mishnah Berurah, with the Zoya, and with the Chassam Sofer, and with the whole, shall we say, apparatus, Bonim, and Ashiras, and who knows what.
It's a compelling argument, but it's a...
Exactly, it's a compelling argument. Ro'il in Hog is something that one should do. So in my family, this is a Kpeda. In my family, what?
Maybe that should be
Rahman. Hashem, maintain your sense of humor. Hashem should bless you. Anyway, Tam B'chacham has to have a milsa de b'dichasa. Anyway, so in my family, this is the practice, not just in my immediate family, my children, my grandchildren. Kach no'agim l'fi this Mishnah Berurah. As Rabbi Munitz said, compelling, Roy Linhog, etc., etc. Okay, so I just want to, the Mishnah Berurah somehow assumes that this is Minhag Avoseinu Me'olam. Now, it's true, the Gemara says, we're talking about... So anyway, so the Gemara says that... what was that? That's right. That's what I'm going to get to that a little bit later. It's a very important halacha. The din of Sabi Isha Erva has two areas of relevancy. I didn't cite the entire halacha here in the Mishnah Berurah, but you can see it on the page number 6, since you cited page number 6, Sif Dalet, where the Mechaber says, also likos kriya shema keneged erva, afilu shel oved gilulim, ervas kodin, v'yesh magtir keneged ervas kodin, v'chein ikor, okay. So as Rabbi Baum said, this would have relevance to the issue of Kriya Shema. And that's a very important halacha. It means the din is that, number one, a married woman has to cover her hair. Number two, that a married woman is not allowed to say Dvarim Shebikdusha. The Divrei Torah, Brachas, Dvarim Shebikdusha, the presence of a man cannot say Divrei Torah, Dvarim Shebikdusha, the presence of a married woman whose hair is uncovered. I'll do that in a little while. But whatever the case is, that's the second nafkamina regarding what you mentioned correctly. So on page, actually, number 4... if you look here on the previous page, so here also the Shulchan Aruch actually writes very clearly that in Simcha Chaf Aleph and Eben Ezer, Lo Tilachna Belo Sisua Puros Rosh Bashuk Achas Pnuya Vachas Eish Hezish. Wow. The Chabad says it applies to Pnuya, a single woman. I mentioned a few moments ago, Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that's the reason why, I don't know if you noticed, that Yushalmi, young women, braid the hair. Only Rabbi Munitz is probably aware of this. So anyway, so that's they do it based on this Gemara and based on the Magen Avraham, which is cited. However, we know that a single woman, the Beis Shmuel, right over here on page 4, the Beis Shmuel, the other Paschim say, no. When the Gemara says, Lo silach lebenos yisrael pruas rosh, it refers to an almana or a grusha, but not to a single individual woman. It says, benos yisrael. An almana is also called a bas yisrael. And so is a grusha, and I'll get to that also a little bit later, hopefully. It means once they were married, they have an obligation to cover the hair. The question is it the same obligation as a married woman, or is it on a lower level? That's also a big shail among the Dali Apostkim here, Rabbi Baum, your man, the Dayan, Sechet Tzadik Livracha, wow. I'll get to that in a moment. That it means asking, is it a chiyum min ha-Torah for an almana or grusha to cover the hair, or is only with abundant in nature, so the Igus Meshe, which is found over here on page number, let me just finish this if you don't mind, or did I Xerox it for you? No, I did not. It's actually, I don't have it here, but the Igris Meshe has a famous tshuva. The Igris Meshe has a tshuva, I think it's in Siman Nun Zion, that's what I remember, maybe it is here. Page what? Page 10, thank you. That's what, I'm sorry, thank you, I just didn't remember. So the Igris Meshe here, this is a very common shaila. A woman who comes in almana or grusha wants to marry again. She doesn't want to go out with a sheitel for all kinds of reasons. So the Igros Meshe passes the halacha that there's a makom lahokel. That's what he writes. She can go begilu sar because the chiyuv, the obligation of a grusha and almana to cover their hair is only das yehudis and not das meshe. It's not a din daraisa. It's a massive chiddush. And therefore, if there's a matzah of hefsek gadol, generally, once you reduce, as we know, in Hilchos Shabbos and elsewhere, once you reduce an isos to isos labanim, then we have b'makom hefsek, b'makom tzar, b'makom chayla, a whole list of b'makoms. Then logazu habanan. There's no gzera, so here there's a makom. Certainly, it's only an issue of das yehudis, a din drabanan. Let's say she needs parnasa, or let's say she wants to get married. All kinds of different time. I might deal with this issue. Kalayom kol halayla. Halavai, we should never deal with this issue. So then the aloche is he permits her to not cover her hair. By the way, if you remember those who were here at the beginning, that was the tshuva that the Rav who went to Russia quoted. I told the story of that Rav. So that's the tshuva that Rav quoted for an almana or a grusha. But Rav Moshe would not permit it for an eshes ish. Even if it means losing her job. She'd have to uncover her hair, no leniency. And that's why that woman lost her job in Moscow General Hospital. So this, maybe I should tell you, this I heard from Magoin of Pinchas Taitz, Zechazag de Bracha, over 50 years ago. He was the one who traveled back and forth. He's not the only one. There's a whole slew of Rabbonim who used to travel back and forth. If you're interested in hearing about his escapades, the way I could describe it, his daughter, Rebbetzin Blau, Shlita, she wrote a biography of her father. Fascinating biography. Kedai to read. Of course, you're busy learning all day Shef Shmaitzis, so I don't know if you have time. But anyway, for those who don't learn Shef Shmaitzis, Kaleim Kaalaila, Kedai to read Rebbetzin Blau's biography. Her husband, Rav Yossi Blau, Shlita, Shashem Yarcham of Shneisov, so he's the Mashgiach over there in the yeshiva for many, many years. Anyway, his wife wrote an absolutely fantastic work describing what her father, Zatzal, did. But I heard him many, many times in my younger years. I was in Elizabeth, New Jersey many, many times. And he used to be on the radio at Gezok, the Daf HaShavua, on WEVD, the station that speaks your language. Anyway, so my mother, Hashem, used to listen to Rav Taitz every Motzei Shabbos. And together with Mr. Basenko, I think he was the fellow who was the Shadran, the Shadar on the radio. So therefore, that's how I was able to hear Rav Taitz, and I got to know him quite well in the course of many years, including his son, Hagoin, his son who needs Refuah Shleima, Hashem should give him Refuah Shleima, Mitzvah Hashem. He's a mathematician, his son, a professor of mathematics, very wise family. Rav Soloveitchik was very friendly with Rav Taitz. Unbelievable, Yedid Nefesh. Never saw such a Yedidus between two Rabbonim that I saw between him and Rav Taitz. You know, Rav Taitz, he's well known, just like Ablazer Silva. These two were like very, very colorful personalities, to say the least. Okay, so back over here on page, you can actually see that Dayan Folk, Rabbi Bam's Dayan, Lo Maskimim Zeh, he does not agree with this. In the Machzeh Eliyahu on page 14, those are his tshuvas. Rabbi Bam pointed out he not only wrote a few English for him, it was a Goy Nadir. And Machzeh Eliyahu is an unbelievable sefer. I'm quite familiar with the sefer. I actually own it. I got it from Dayan Folk, Zechut Zadok Divracha. Anyway, so the Machzeh Eliyahu, because I wrote him 300 Ha'aras on Eiz V'Hodol Levusha. And then 10 years later, as I mentioned already in another shir, he sent me back two volumes, Ma'amar Mekemes, of the first sefer that he wrote 10 years earlier, with a copy of my letter. And all the Ha'aras and the check marks on which page is to be found. What a yucky, these people, these English people. They're out of control. They're so proper. We have one right over here. Anyway, so in the Machzeh Eliyahu, in the Simin Kuf Yud Tes, so here he discusses this issue. He's cholik on Moshe, doesn't agree. He says the obligation of a grusha in almana is like an eshes ish. There's no distinction whatsoever. There's no heter for them to go ahead and not to cover their hair. Makom hesed, makom panasa, makom this, makom that. Absolutely no heter whatsoever. And the question also, you take a look on page, that's on page 14. And also I think I wrote, okay, this you can read if you like. On page 15 I decided to include something from his sefer, Oz V'Hodol Levusha. This is the first edition. There are more than one edition. I have all of them. But anyway, so this is the first edition of his sefer. There's a question regarding a kala. Yeah, since I've been to 24 chasanas in the last, since Tisha B'Av, so they've asked me a number of times, at what point is a kala obligated to cover her hair? Must it be before the chuppah? Must it be right after the chuppah? Must it be after the first act of Bia? So we generally, who's we? The literature Shevelt generally is night to the hakel regarding these matters. And if matter of fact, on page number 5, I think it was, yeah, look at Nayin Hay, in Siman Nayin Hay, in the Mishnah Berurah here, page number 5, he writes clearly, Besula ein lochi of the chasa sara. the third arrow. Arrow number three, he has a deya, psulo sarusa, sasura salech begili arosh. Wow. Who had him besulo shenivalo, tzvich mechas sarosh. So he says, what? Shenivalo. I'm sorry? Page five, Sivkot and Yud Aleph, in the Mishnah Berurah, the third arrow. So he writes, Mesula Sarusa, Sasura Salech Begili Arosh. We know the Sugi and Ksubis, whether an Arusa has a Ksuba or doesn't have a Ksuba, Gemara's in Machlokes. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, Mesula Sarusa, Sasura Salech Begili Arosh. Who had him, Mesula Shenibalu, Tzvichim, the Chasas Arosh. Sounds like after the act of beer. That's what many have in practice along those lines. And again, there are Chilukadeus about this. Some say that the moment she says, the moment he says to her, Rabbi Kudeshusli, she has an obligation to cover her hair. It's based on the Kiveger. He quotes the Marie Levy. Means according to that, a Kala would have to cover her hair before she goes to the Chuppah. I understood the Rabbi Yashiv passing the Halacha like that. Before she goes to the Chuppah, she has to cover her hair. Kach Shamati, Vishem Rabbi Yashiv. But there are many other opinions, the Shvus Yankov and the Yeshuas Yankov, and they disagree. They hold only after Nisuin. As I said, many do with the Cheder Ichud. I was asked by a number of Chassanim. So many cover their hair, put it on the Cheder HaYichud, and where she became a Nesua, if you put on a shirtle. And the third opinion is actually on page number four. What was that?
That Mishnah for the robe of beauty, they're going to say.
It's about a woman's mezana.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then the Mishnah says, Ein yochrein in the faithful.
Correct.
What does that mean?
Okay, that needs attention. What does that line mean? Okay, I have a lot to say on this. Hey, I can't. You know, I asked Mr. Brewer, this is like an editorial comment. To what extent can you be medayik in Mr. Brewer? So Rabbi Baum said, what do you mean to what extent? Of course you're medayik in Mr. Brewer. What is it like the Ramban?
Something was written by
I had with Rabbi Levinsohn for a number of years, and he almost got exasperated with me after a certain point in time. He just could not deal with me. So there's a, in Resh Ayin Aleph, there's a Mishnah Berurah that tells you, we know a woman is chayv in Kiddush on Friday night. Kol she'esh b'shomer, yesh b'zocha. There are two Gemaras. One is that, Sugin Brachas Daf Chof, and one is the Gemara Psachim, that kol she'esh b'altar chacham is yesh b'kumechel matzah. Woman is mechuyiv to eat matzah, even though it's a mitzvah seish tazman grama, b'arev tachlu matzah, hakosik v'al chayva, fine. So then, okay, a woman is mechuyiv to make Kiddush. So maybe I don't know if I should... Can I for a second? How do I do that? Since I'm in the entertainment mood this morning.
We should probably erase the part about
that. What is that? The
Mishnah Berurah. Almost, that's what I'm getting to. So, I'm sorry. Back on track. So, thank you. So here in the... It's a Magad Avraham. It's on page number four. Thank you. So I asked Harav Levinsohn, the following Resh Ayin Aleph, Mishnah Berurah there talks about a woman making Kiddush for a man. Mishnah Berurah says, for her husband she can make Kiddush, but not for another man. Zila Milsa. Ichab Gilfak to Harav Levinsohn 25 years ago. Vos main to Zila Milsa. I don't know how you interpret that, Rabbi Munitz. What's Zila Milsa? It's not Sanua. Okay. Okay, it's Pasha to you. Wow, Bach Hashem. Ashrecha v'ashrechelkecha. Not in good taste. Okay. Rabbi Levinsohn told me all that. And then he also told me, he started with a whole slew of things to understand what Zila Milsa is. And what? But does Zila Milsa mean that it's Asa Mikra Adin? Let's say a woman does not sing. Let's say there's no Kobisha involved. Zila Milsa, okay, it's not Bakobidik, Pasnisht, Tatsanua, but she does it. Are you Yotze? What's this up? One second. Rav Levinsohn had that too. You know how many pshatim he told me in that Zila Milsa? It was like no end. First of all, when I mentioned Rav Levinsohn, like he knows how much to brew by heart, so therefore this is not a chiddush to him. But he had several, about five, six pshatim, including for the man, for the woman, all kinds of different explanations. Okay, but I'm going now here on page number four. The Magen Avraham quotes an opinion, and that's what I mentioned a moment ago. That's what you have to see over here. Where was it? In Sivkotten? In the Magen Avraham, where's that Magen Avraham now? Magen Avraham is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. I'm sorry, on page number five, in Sivkot and Yud Beis. Yeah, that's where he quotes. See, this is the Makkah for the Yerushalmi thing. I in Magen Avraham, you see Yud Bet? on page number 5. The loyavu begilu harosh rakim sarosayim kluos below sturot. That's the mocker that they braid their hair, Yerushalmi women. Because the Gemara says, Shol tilach the Benos Yisrael. So if you understand Benos Yisrael as the Beis Shmuel understood it, as the Simcha Palach refers to Alman or Agusha, okay. But in Pashup Shat, it could refer to, clearly to a single girl. Benos Yisrael refers to a single girl. So that's the mocker. I don't know anyone, I think only Chassidish communities, I believe not just in Yerushalayim, but in Williamsburg, and the United States, or Muncie, wherever they are, that's what they are. No way, they braid their hair. They don't let it hang loosely, or they wear short hair because of this opinion of the Magen Avraham. Most Poskim disagree, and I think Rav HaPoskim don't follow this position that's mentioned over here by the Magen Avraham. Okay, yeah. The Mokar is the Gemara, the Mechaber. The Gedlashon, the Gemara here in Ksuvah Stafayim Beishol, Tzilachta Benos Yisrael, Pruos Rosh. And then the Beishmuel is on page number 4, and the Beishmuel is on page number 5. The Yushalmi, Yushalmi women, I said, not Yushalmi. Yushalmi girls, Yushalmi women.
Yes. My mother teaches braiding in the Bishyakos here in Israel. I know for my daughters, they're taught not to keep it loose.
Right, that's the mocker for that. This is the mocker.
But so it is. Same basic idea.
Yeah, same idea. Okay. Now, the question is, and this is the next question, which again, the Dayan, Zatzal, also is involved, and Hagoyin of Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, and this I've had discussion with Hagoyin of Dov Feinstein for a number of years. I discussed this issue. He told me I went once, and the next year I asked him, he said, Rabbi David, you asked me this question last year. Why are you asking it again? And then a third time he said, also similar to the Abar Lichtenstein story I mentioned, yeah, the Chazokah. I said, these people remember everything. You can't.
And they're not giving the answer, so you wouldn't come back if you didn't get the answer.
You don't know what the issue is completely. You don't understand why you didn't give me the. The question is, must all the hair of a married woman be covered? Can some of it be exposed? This is the subject, as you know, a massive discussion. There are really three opinions in halacha. On page number 5, it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that a married woman has to cover all her hair. That's what he writes from the Zoyah and the Chasam Sofer. And the Gemara in Yuma that I mentioned in Memzayim, that even the walls of her home should not see even a strand of hair. But as the Ramah said, quoting from the Rashba, if it's mechutz letzamatan, if it's outside of this net that they're wearing, so that is permissible because we're talking about that it's impossible to cover. So they're going to protrude a little bit, a few hairs here and there. That's not clearly an issue. As far as we are concerned, it means chutz samatan is permissible. The hair that cannot be contained, and that's what Ramo he calls the Rashba. But Mikra Din doesn't have to be covered. Now, what about a woman who wears a hat? I mean, that's what the obviously Sad Bechsinim do because they want to avoid. They want to basically be mekayim the Zoya, the Chasam Sofer. They follow the Zoya, the Chasam Sofer, to a T. I've been involved in issues where Satmar women, they weren't really Satmars. They married a Satmar. They became. I guess because of the marriage, they joined the ranks of Satmar. They didn't want to shave the hair. This was an issue, and it comes up, Ariyam Azeh, comes up even more now. Question is, do they have the right to not follow that particular? And would that be ma'akev a marriage? And I'm not the, again, you have to be a Satmar Dayan in order to answer this question, and when you join the community, because they also are the position that a woman has to follow her husband completely, 1,000%. I'm not sure there's a tshuva like that. Rabbi Vadya, Zatzal and other today, I'm involved in these kinds of marriages. Well, you call them mixed marriages? I'm not sure what they call them. A Taimani, a woman marries a young American fellow, Ashkenazi fellow, Bas Tumin. And she wants to hold on to some of her Minhagim, he wants to hold on to his Minhagim, so what do? Create a world war? They shouldn't get married. We marry them off, and we work out all kinds of compromises. It's against Rav Moshe and against probably the classic Piskei Halacha, but we would like to have Shalom Bayis. I'm very into Shalom Bayis. I think Shalom Bayis is doicha all these things. Especially if it's not a din daraisa. Talking about minhagim, things like that. I think we have to try to achieve Shalom Bayis. That's really what we should try to do. I hope you don't mind, Rabbi Munitz. That's my general approach in life. And that's what I've seen over the years. Okay, but here, a woman wears a hat and the hair hangs out in the back and the sides. So, again, is that what the Ramah is talking about? But Pasha is not. Ramah is only referring to here, they can't be contained by the, what are they called, the mitpachat, the tichel, I'm not sure, whatever you call the snood. I mean, I don't know all the names of the varying items that are involved over here. there are those who are very machmir, that the Chassam Sofer that we see here on the bottom. And again, if you live in that kind of a community where even that hair cannot be exposed, talking hair that is on the side falling out, then you have to obviously follow the Minhag HaMakom. Minhag HaMakom is another very significant halachic issue, especially relating to tznius. Minhag HaMakom. I had this with Rabbi Levin Sol Shrita when we began MMY many, many years ago. So I laid down a code of tznius. The code was pretty draconian. And had we followed the code, there would not even have been one girl that would have been left in the institution. So I would have been essentially talking to the walls, which I do most of the time anyway. But as Nayan Bakoysel, Rashi and Brachas, Baruch Hashem, tells me that you can read into the Vant. The Vant taught, the Vant has Osnayim, so the Vant, even the ears, the walls, that my father was used to tell me that all the time. And I actually, I'll tell you over another Maisa, since I'm into Maisa, oh, it's going to be a shiur till 2 o'clock. Anyway, so the, I heard from Hagoyin HaTzadik, Rabban Lichtenstein Tzatzal, the following. He was in Chaim Berlin. He was a young bacher, 16 years old. Who shiur did he go to? Later, who became his mishpacha, who made his shiur, Hagoyin Rabban Halevi Soloveitchik, the Tzadik the bacher. There was a point where Rabban Halevi had maybe 3-4 Talmidim in the Shia. But one of them was this 16-year-old fellow. And from this 16-year-old fellow came out basically Echad Migdolei Ador, Echad Mitzadiki Ador, Echad Migoini Ador. And so he thought Rabban Lichtenstein, the Rabban Soloveitchik, was bothered by the fact that there are 3 or 4 people in the Shia. Lech Patno, ki who's there? As long as there's one person in the Shia, he said, I'll be coming. He used to travel on trains from Manhattan to Brooklyn, Chaim Berlin. It was 1.5 hours each way. 3 hours of travel. He did it. He felt it was kedai for 1 or 2 talmidim, for 3 talmidim. Being, I suppose, especially one of them being the future Gadol Hador, that alone would be sufficient to go ahead and... Kashamati mi piv kotsho shabam lechasin. That is correct. I'm quite familiar with it. And the Makirita Isaac, and this story I also wrote down in that little storybook that I'm writing, etc. That says, godless to see such an approach, such a stance. And he said the Shuvah Rabban Halevi Soloveitchik were absolutely fantastic, beyond fantastic. That's how he described it, Rabban Lichtenstein. He had such Yiras HaKovid for Rabban Soloveitchik, mamish literally, between Shver and Rabban, it was like Charoda. And Moira Shen Kava. Okay, I'm back over here. So I just want to mention, this also is Mishnah Berurah. Okay, he quotes this Zohar that I just cited a moment ago, and the Chassam Sofer. And actually, the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, I actually brought it here on page number 7. You can actually see, if you want to see it, you can see the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer that's reflected in this Mishnah Berurah. It's a long Tshuva, but he writes at the end, HaKlal HaYotze, if you see the arrow, on the bottom, Kol Shum Sar B'Shum Mokom, Gamkova. So okay, you have to read this entire piece. And as I said, and really there are two opinions. There's the Chassam Sofer and the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Zohar, but then of course there's the Ramah, and then of course on page number 13 there's the Tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This Tshuva is where Dayan Yodayan, if you don't mind my calling him Yodayan, takes issue with this tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but I'm just going to read the end of it.
This is the first
tshuva. What? Yeah, that's right. So on page number 13, I'm reading the arrow, okay? I'm summarizing it. I told you what people do is they read the question of Rav Moshe, they don't go through the entire 5 pages of discussion, the old Gemaras and the Achreinim, they just go to the question, and then the last paragraph, Lachem Ladina. So that's what I'm doing. Lachen the dina, afshim in a roi, shiachmiru hanoshim lechasas ki de sevach sam sefer, hol viyotzim mipumi de goin godo kamosa, ben mi dina risha v'din asheni, v'din asheni oika gamay le tzniyas tikimchas, shekos v'adar kemeshem, abo poshin, she'elu harotzo the hokel b'shin adinim, ein lachshim and oivis tadas yudis chas v'sholom, ein li imona, afilo tamachochem v'yirei shomayim miliso isho kazo, im yirei shomayim medadeke b'mitzvah balas midos. So what does Moshe allow? He tells in the last 2 lines. He allows up to 2 etzbos all around. Uncovered. Erech beis etzvos begoyva shapanim. Who erech arech beis tzvachim, because it says tevach b'yisha erva, and all around two etzvos is a tevach. That's why Moshe has a more or less the measurement. And us up to a tevach is not erva, and therefore, and this is a tshuva that I heard from my Rebbe Hagoyin Nisim Albert Zatzal, who was a Talmud Muvuk of Moshe. Namely, let's say someone's dating a woman, she told this fellow she's not going to cover all of her hair. She wants to expose up to a tefach. So Moshe writes, it's permissible. But of course, it's not ideal. The ideal is that a woman should cover her hair entirely. Moshe writes here very clearly. But even a Talmud Chacham, Yeresh Hamayim, is allowed to marry such a woman as long as she's a Balas Midos, and Medaktiv Mitzis, etc., etc. She has all the other qualities. It's not a violation of Das Yehudis, even though the proper thing is to cover all her hair. Now, most poskim do not agree with Moshe Feinstein, not just your Dayan. He certainly disagrees with Moshe Feinstein. But even other poskim as well, this you can find here on page number 15, Dayan Folk, who wrote a whole sefer, Ozu Hada Labusha, that I've discussed a number of times here in this year. I think I mentioned that I wanted to use it at one point in time when I was in that seminary for women that I opened, that I started, and I realized a short while later that it was...
Not a go.
That's great. Thank you. That not a go is another beautiful expression. And that sefer was then put into Geniza. Because it was in English, that was the plus of it. I had something in English that they could actually understand and read. But unfortunately, there are many, many positions there that are not in sync with where they're holding. So most assume Dying Folk wrote this in English. This is the first edition of Dying Folk. There are other editions. You quote Chazon Ish and Shabina Rav, Rashi Zalman, Rav Yashi. They hold even less than the Tefach cannot be exposed. Also, Gemara says Tefach b'Yisha Erva. Pretty clear Gemara. Rav Moshe. You have to read his whole Lamedus Rav Moshe to understand where he came to, how he came to this understanding. So a woman who doesn't feel she's on the Madrega to follow all these poskim has someone to rely on. And this is the question that I asked Hagoyin Hatzadik Rav David Feinstein Zatzal regarding this tshuva of Rav Moshe, and because Dayan Folk, not in this edition, Dayan Folk contended Rav Moshe never said it. That's pretty okay. I'm not saying anything about obviously Baruch Shekivanti. What?
This is a forged tshuva?
No, he didn't go that far. There's no way, Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe does say it, just he indicates it's not the ideal. That he was right very clearly. You have to read a number of his tshuvas on this matter. But the problem is that Dayan Folk has other tshuvas for Rav Moshe, and he claims the other tshuvas are say this tshuva, and they say clearly that a woman has to cover her hair completely. So that's he has difficulty reconciling these tshuvas. But as I said, you have to somehow...
Where are those tshuvas that are problematic?
Okay, I didn't Xerox Rav Moshe's entire sefer. I could have done that also.
No, I'm saying this.
Rav Moshe has many tshuvas on this topic. He wrote Contrasive. What? I think I have it here.
He says the God will suffer from the rule.
Correct. But there are other... Rav Moshe used to put out, besides the Igros Moshe, Chalal, they never really published it. His yeshiva used to put out Contrasive. Most of them were written by him. There are not... tens of Kuntresim, not hundreds, thousands. Thousands of Kuntresim Rav Moshe wrote that are not published in English Moshe. Many of them have not yet been collected. I'm not sure exactly why. I don't really fully grasp how these things... And there he has a lot of material on this topic. I'm not sure even how to get a hold of it. I have a number of them myself in my house, but there are many, many more that I don't have. Okay, I just want to discuss one more issue, maybe more than one actually. Where does a woman have to cover her hair? What areas... So the Gemara says over here, the Gemara we saw on Dafayin Beis, on the Beis, the woman goes out into the marketplace, that's called Das Meshe. Yeah?
Is it possible that the Machlokes from Dayan Folk, and saying that Moshe didn't write it, is it in fact the issue of who he was writing to? Meaning that the people that are, like, you know what, the Archa Shulchan?
Very good. I'm coming to Archa Shulchan, I'm coming to it in a little bit. I want to get that also, the Archa Shulchan, if you don't mind, that will be a little bit, if you... But I hear what you're saying. Good. It's very possible. Again, it's very hard to sometimes address. You know, we don't really know whom Rav Moshe wrote to, whom these people are. But there's no question, Rav Moshe, Rav Nisim Alpert, my Rebbe. I don't know how to describe to you my Rebbe's. I saw my Rebbe with his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He never called him Rav Moshe. He couldn't say the words Rav Moshe. Just like Rabbi Nevitzel can't say Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's Rav Shlomo Zalman? Rav Nevesel doesn't know who he is. He only spent 40 years living with him. Chavrusa. Maran Harav, he calls him. Like this. Rav Nissim Alper called Rashiva. Rashiva. I never heard the word Ramesha from him. I say Ramesha like every 5 minutes. And he calls it Rashiva. Why? I asked him one day. So he started trembling. Rav Nissim Alper. Trembling. I never saw such charada. He was sittering. I don't know how to describe it. He couldn't call Ramesha Ramesha Rashiva. That's all he could call him. That was the Yiras HaKovid that these people have for their Rabbeim. So, all right. I'm not in the, like a, ka'ofra tachas kapas ragleim. So now the question is, what about a backyard? A woman covering her hair in the privacy of a home? I mentioned it before. Major machlokas haposkim. On page 5, I think there again, Mr. Brewer in Siman Ayin Hei also relates to this issue. So he writes, we just read one part in the B'alocha that you mentioned a few minutes. That B'alocha we read already. Only Isur is really in the street. But in her own yard, in the privacy of her own home, it's permissible. Let's assume right now no men are present. No question, she does not have to cover her hair. I'm not getting now into what a certain Adam Godel, whom I had a connection with, I keep being Ramis to him, what he held regarding these matters. I prefer not to. I'm right now just going with the Mishavruah, and that's what I'm more or less presenting. I mean, according to Rashi and Tesis, Mikra Adin, a woman's only obligated to cover her hair when she goes out in public. That's Rashi and Tesis. We're not talking about Achronim. We're talking about Gedolei HaRishonim. But in her own yard, in the privacy of her home, no other people have meant, no other people are present, let's say only family members. The question is, which family members? I'm not getting to all the, a lot of protim, repite, protim over here. There's no obligation to cover her hair. Mikra Adin, that's very clear from the Sugya and clear from the Poskim. But even according to them, there's a higher level of chassidus that we mentioned from the Gemara Mem Zayin and Yuma regarding kimchis and zochet to shiva kohanim gedolim. There's a story. I saw this when I came to Eretz Yisrael. I bought a biography of the Chazon Ish. It's in 5 volumes. Now, whenever I buy something, I try to read the whole sefer, and then first week or 2 or 3, and then I put it away because I usually never get to it. So people give me svarim left and right. I get a sefer a week. Usually matonis, left and right. I'm surrounded by, I have a pile. I try to read it usually when I'm exhausted at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, so when I can't learn anymore. So I read the Svarim. Anyway, so I look at them. There's a story of the Chazon Ish, that someone came to the mother of the Chazon Ish. It's, why are you zoche to this godel, to this tzaddik hador, the Chazon Ish? So she answered, when she washed her hair, there were 2 women standing over her with a towel over her head. This is a maisa. It's actually recorded, this maisa. I saw it written up as well. And her hair should not be exposed to the rafters of the house. It's not just she was quoting the Gemara in Yuma. And that's why she said she was zeicha to the Chazon Ish. That's the reason why she was zeicha to the Chazon Ish. But as I said, this is an extra measure of tznius, clearly not required mikra din. There are individuals who live, Baruch Hashem, lives that are very, very medactic. I happen to have a number of them in my family. I always tell the young men in my yeshiva, jokingly, Rabbi Baum, marry someone more frum than you are. That's not a big thing. It's not so difficult. But make sure you marry someone more frum than you are, and most of them do, 98%. And that's why, Baruch Hashem, they become B'nai Torah. Don't mind my quips. Rabbi Thao knows me, so it doesn't make a difference. Yes? Right, I didn't. That's correct. That's right. Discounted. That's 100% correct. Okay, let me just maybe 1 or 2 other things that there are poskim that are cholik of Rashi and Tesis. On page number 6, the Mishnah Berurah here in the Bi'ah Halacha quotes actually a smag. You see the Bi'ah Halacha? I'm not going to read the Bi'ah Halacha. I underlined it. Underlined on page 6. I underlined the entire Bi'ah Halacha here in Siman Ayin Hei. He quotes actually the Mishnah Berurah. Quotes a smag, brings a Yushalmi, that even in the privacy of HaChatzer, and he says over here, that's the position of the Tur, and the Bach, and the Rambam, even B'Chatzera, it's also to expose her here. But the Mishnah Berurah himself brings from the Beis Shmuel, Simen Kuf Tes Vav, that again, as I said, there are Chiluk HaDeos regarding this matter. I mean, I think this has become prevalent in Klal Yisrael, that the women cover the hair, even the privacy of the homes. That's the Mishabura passes la locha, even though it's Roy Linog, and this is the right thing to do. Except, of course, as I said, there's no obligation for a woman to cover her hair in the presence of her husband. And the issue is only, of course, saying Kriyat Shema and the like. And that's what we mentioned on page number 12. I think that's where I put the, in the Igros Moshe. Yeah, it's on page number 12. You can actually see, I put an arrow over there as well. So here, the Rav Moshe Feinstein mentions the Poskim, the Sam Sefer, that even Bitsnius Bitoch Beis, so she's obligated to cover her home. And then Rav Moshe writes over there that this is a Chumrah, and he quotes actually from the Beis Shmuel and the Bach and others, etc. No, the Bach and Beis Shmuel only mention the yard, that a woman has an obligation to cover her hair in the backyard. They don't say anything about the privacy of her home. But the Sham Sofer clearly extrapolated that even in the privacy of her home, there's a halachic ra'ui linhog based on the Zoya that he quotes the Sham Sofer and the Mishnah Berurah. So essentially, I would say there are three opinions about, to summarize the positions that I mentioned here. One is Rashi and Tesis, quoted by the Bi Halacha. Only when she goes out in public is she obligated to cover her hair. In her yard, a backyard, the privacy of a home, there's no chiyuv for a married woman to cover her hair, unless you want to be knowing midas chesidus like kimchis and the like, but otherwise mikra din, it's not required. Rav Moshe says only in the privacy of a backyard, but not inside the home itself. And then, as I said, there are those who are incredibly machmir, always constantly keep the hair covered under all circumstances. I mean, I'll tell you what he told me, Hagoyd Abiyama Zilba, he's the Mashkiach in Itri, in my day. So I discussed it with him 50 years ago. And so he told me that the issue is, he has a lot of similar issues. Let's say you're not, your hair is not covered and someone knocks on the door. And sometimes you open up the door, oh, wow, and you're caught with your hair exposed to a man, you answer the door, for whatever it may be, for whatever reason, it's embarrassing. So therefore, constantly keep your hair covered in case someone might be knocking the door. That's what I heard from Hagoyin Atzadik Yabudem Zilba. He has a similar kind of thing with reference to, there's another issue, as far as El Boygin. Mishnah Berurah 9a speaks about elbogin, the elbow. So now the question is, must you cover the elbow? So they were very gedolei Yisrael. Now I won't mention their names since I'm going to mention the kula. But they said, tefach b'sheva, you're allowed to keep a tefach above the elbow uncovered. I'm talking about gedolei Yisrael. Three of them. Rav Nevesol, cholek aleihem legamri, and Rav Yom Zilva, cholek aleihem legamri. Because Rabbi Yom Zilber told me that in case a woman lifts up her hand, and so then the sleeve goes way above a tefach. So maybe she has to cover even the area below the elbow as well, and there's no heter to do otherwise. Okay, this I'm just indicating this issue. I just want to mention one or two more things before I end this, because I have a lot more to go. But I'll just mention there are really two separate halachas that are very important to be cognizant of. One is the Gemara in Brachos Chavdalet, and the other is the Mishnah Ksuvah Stavayim Beis. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan is the one who right away is on the case. The Aruch HaShulchan has a famous, of course, you can be assured, Rav Bam Shlita, that your Dayan does not agree with the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, page number 9, one of the most famous Aruch HaShulchans in Shulchan Aruch. The Aruch HaShulchan had, as Soloveitcher said, Erat Gehat Breit the Plaitzes. That's what he used to say about him. He had very broad shoulders, Aruch HaShulchan. Ain't shum sofik, that's true. There are two separate dinim that we have to be cognizant of. One is the Mishnah and Nafayim Beis in Ksuvis. And the other is Gemara Brachos Chavdalet. Gemara Brachos Chavdalet says, Sar B'isha Erva. Period. The Gemara says that the hair of a married woman can bring about Hirurim. And the Gemara is talking about, as Rabbi Baum mentioned before, what the Mechaber says in Ayin Hey, you can't say Dvarim Shebikdusha, a husband, or anybody, in the presence of a married woman whose hair is uncovered. That's one halacha. That's a din. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Sabi isha erba. But that's totally separate from the Pasha here in Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara calls the Pasha in Saita that a married woman has obligation all the time to cover her hair, even when there's no one around learning Torah. That's a din. That's a halacha. That's part of her tznius. So therefore, comes Yoruch HaShulchan. This Yoruch HaShulchan has been misquoted, misinterpreted, misconstrued, distorted, skewered, for the last 50 years of my life, that I can tell you. I've seen all kinds of discussions on this Aruch HaShulchan. What does he say? I'm reading Zayin. I have to read it inside. Page number 9. The Ata. Bo. And let's scream about the Pirtzus Doreinu Babarasin Harabim. שזה שונים רבו שנפרצו בנוס ישראל בעבון זה והוכל בגילי הרבוש. Like, as I said earlier before, my mother's entire generation, including wives of Gdol Yisrael. And they, I mentioned, you weren't here, Rabbi Tao, I mentioned that there's one well-known, but I know seven of Gdol Yisrael that the wives didn't cover there. I'm not going to tell you whom they are.
And then one of them said, they came to him and said, Rabbi, you're giving shir on this, why doesn't your wife come here? So I can't tell you what.
I told over that story, and I know more stories than you do. I spoke to three Rosh Yeshiva who spoke to that Rav. Okay, but that's, anyway, separate story. I investigate everything. That's my nature. It's part of my stalking. Anyway, so here, V'koma she'tzaku, lo la'azor, lo la'ezer, v'lo la'hoel. V'yata, posvisa mispachat. Only Rabbi Munitz appreciates this kind of Hebrew. Posvisa mispachat she'nesuot holcha b'sarel se'kem ha'b'sudos. Oy lo l'shol se'b'yameinu kach. Miu, al kolpanum l'dina nireh, Shemuta lano lispari v'vorach neged v'shem ha-megulos. Pilei ployim. There's no problem. The Gemara in Brachos is, essentially, we can put it aside. Kevin Shata, one second. Kevin Shata, Ruben Hochos Kach, v'ahava ki mekeles ha-megulim begufa ki mashkos ha-motcha b'shem rabio. And he quotes that Lashon. That's basically what he's saying is very, very important. Namely, that the erva of Sar is different than Shok B'isha erva and Zra B'Yesh Erva, Yesh Erva V'Yesh Erva.
What's the Hak?
No, but Soper Gimel. I'm sorry, so he quotes the Mokha, name of the Rav Yoh, Soper Gimel of Ksubis, this statement, that since Sar, there's less Hirhur when it comes to Sar, than when it comes to, as I said, Shok B'Yesh Erva, and Zra B'Yesh Erva. Zra also, as you know, is a big machloket. The Chazanish has a long essay on this topic. I don't know if I include the Chazanish or not here, but anyway, so this Aruch HaShulchan has now, in the last many, many decades that I know, it's a very mind-boggling chiddush that you could say, Dvarim Shebekdusha, since many, many married women, if not most married women, maybe in his days as well, don't cover their hair, and therefore, Yesh Makom LaHokel, regarding Dvarim Shebekdusha, as far as the hair, being covered, he's not talking about shok.
I'm saying, would that change in your generation that...
Oh, so that's the question. Whether, let's say, if today, as I told you before, I said three generations, my mother's generation that didn't cover their hair, my generation that say 50%, I have chavim or rabbanim, their wives don't cover their hair. But their children, all their daughters cover their hair. Baruch Hashem, Ashrei Doreinu, it's Achshi Dora, there's an improvement because they learned about these halachas. So that's a question. That what you're asking is, again, I don't know how this is to be determined, but he says that since most married women expose their hair, maybe as Rabbi Munitz is saying, that today it's different, and you may very well be right. But this is the position, which is that of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, who soimich ad Aruch HaShulchan. The Dayan, Ehod Gigamin, Ahoysun the Kalim. Ahoysun the Kalim, and this is Aruch HaShulchan. He's dying. And that's just his dying. He's a dying of Klal Yisrael. Odom Godomai. So he disagrees with this completely. And he feels this is the Aruch HaShulchan is wrong. There's no basis for this position. And the Mishnah Berurah really disagrees with him as well. So the Chazanish, they don't agree with the Aruch HaShulchan. They don't follow the Psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. And even if that's the reality, that married women go with the hair exposed, doesn't permit a man to daven and say brachas. So what should you do? I want to tell you what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik on this topic a number of times. Baruch Hashem, I don't really encounter this as much as some rabbanim who live in the, how shall we put it, in the hinterlands of America. They do encounter this topic. You marry a couple in the heat of the summer in Florida.